From the Lord Almighty and his Son, Jesus Christ, grace and peace to all of you. Amen. We're going to focus our attention this day on Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, hallelujah! We're all familiar with the term. It comes after a great success, after a long day's project has been completed, and it almost looked like it was never going to get done, but it's done now, and we say hallelujah. When the child is born, hallelujah. When there's wonderful things to think about, oh, wonderful, hallelujah. I could probably sing a few measures, and the rest of you could sing right along with the hallelujah chorus. It's famous for all the times it's being used, not necessarily in a religious setting like a worship service. Hallelujah, Hebrew for praise the Lord. And it's fitting to use it. It's fitting to use it each day because this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. What greater rejoicing can we do than to praise the Lord who made that day? But it's more than that. Hallelujah and praising the Lord goes beyond just the joy parts of our life. It fits every part of our life. Even the down times, even the hard times, we still praise the Lord. And we're going to focus on why each day is a hallelujah day. We're going to focus on that because we give praise to the Almighty God, the creator of all things. And we focus on the fact that the creator of all things is the one who provides us with everything we need. Every day in our life is a hallelujah day. Now, as we see this, the psalmist starts right out and he tells us with a command that can serve as an invitation, praise the Lord. That's just a broad brush and saying, this is what we should be doing all the time. Praise the Lord. Yeah, and then he makes it personal, doesn't he? He says, praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. He says, when we have a life, as we all have, because you're watching, you're alive, you're seeing this take place, you're breathing, there's air in the room, there is life. We say hallelujah. We say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul, because I know this is the one I can come to in my need. This is the one I can come to when I have concerns and worries, when I have problems in my life. I can praise the Lord because the Almighty One who created everything can also fix everything too, can't he? He goes on from there, do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. He said, don't put your trust in princes, some translated as benefactors, those who provide all the blessings. A lot of times that was royalty who would provide all the blessings. He said, don't put your trust there. Don't look to them for all your solutions and all the answers to all your problems, because what's going to happen? They're mortal. They cannot save. They say when their spirit departs, they return to the ground. From dust you were made, and to dust you will return. That's what's there for all of us. It doesn't matter whether you're wealthy or poor, royalty or not. there is an end for us on this earth. This past week, the whole world was watching the events that took place in England as the Queen of England was laid to her eternal rest. It's fascinating to watch all the pageantry that went on with this and all the organization that was involved. She had served as queen for 70 years. That's longer than I've been alive. That's hard for me even to imagine. And yet, whatever her plans were for the future, whatever she had hoped for her people and her nation, well, guess what? They've got to be passed on to someone else because they're gone. She is gone. The Lord says, don't put your trust in those. Don't put your trust in those who are going to be here and not guaranteed for later. Put your trust in the one who is forever. Put your trust in the one. Blessed is he, it says, whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. That's impressive, isn't it? That our hope, our confidence is placed in our Creator, the one who in love made all things, the one who in love preserves all things, protects all things, the one who in love looks to us and says, you bring me your cares and concerns, whatever they might be, illness, relationships, jobs, government, worries, concerns, crime, violence, wars, threat of wars, you bring them all to me. And I care, and I will listen. The Creator of all things can certainly handle all things, can't he? And he is the one, he has given us the privilege as his children to come to him. He says, you come to this one, blessed whose help is in the God of Jacob. The hope is in the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. What an awesome thought for us. An awesome thought that we too often forget, I'm afraid. We get so tied up with life and the busyness of life. We get so tied up with the people that surround us and the people that work with us or for us or over us. We get so concerned and we forget who made each day. We forget to say our hallelujahs. We forget to say praise the Lord, the Creator of all things. Even the term here, and we're going to hear it any number of times now, where it comes out Lord. That's the Lord of the Israelites. Fancy term, it's the Lord that's translated from the Tetragrammaton, the four letters that spell Yahweh, the great I am, the great provider, redeemer of the people and of the world. This is the one we come to, the great redeemer, the one who is patient and loving, forgiving and caring, the one who, as it goes on, who remains faithful forever. When we put our trust in the Most High, it isn't something that's going to pass away. It will not wear out. It will not grow old. It will not die, like even a faithful queen had to die. The Lord is forever. His grace, his mercy to us, it's forever. That's hallelujah. I mean, that's a hallelujah day, isn't it? When we know that God is forever and we are his. All the fears that might be with us because we know that there will be an end to life or taken away, because after this life, after this brief walk on this globe, we get to be forever with Jesus. His gift of grace. Yes, truly, every day needs to be a hallelujah day, because every day God, the Almighty God, the Creator God, our powerful, almighty God, is watching over us. That's awesome. That makes for a hallelujah day. And it makes for a hallelujah day too, because his concern for us, well, how many times in the scriptures haven't we been told that he cares for the sparrows? He watches over the flowers. He takes care of the grass in the field. He takes care of all these things. He's certainly going to take care of us. And the psalmist goes on with his hallelujahs because he says, this one, the one who is faithful forever, upholds the cause of the oppressed, gives food to the hungry, sets prisoners free, gives sight to the blind, lifts up those who are bowed down, loves the righteous, watches over the alien, sustains the fatherless and the widow, frustrates the ways of the wicked. Each time it says Lord, again, that wonderful term of the God of grace and mercy. This is the one, and look at all that he does. Look at all that he takes care of. In our gospel reading today, we learned about poor Lazarus. In this life, had nothing, had barely the food. He got the food from that fell from the rich man's table. He got table scraps, usually reserved for the dogs and the pets. That's what he had for food. He had nothing. Upon his death, however, he had everything. Being carried by angels to glory, to be there with Father Abraham, to be there, what would me say, be probably reclining next to him at a banquet table. And the rich man, the one who had everything, the one who didn't really even care to bring Lazarus into his house, but left him at the doorstep, left him outside with only dogs as his friends, well, he was tormented, wasn't he? I can't even imagine that kind of torment, that if you dip your finger in some water and that little drop that would hang on the back of the tip of your finger and you'd say, well, here, that little drop would have been enough to offer that rich man relief from his torment. Oh, we don't have to look at that torment as ours. No, what has God done? He says he gives food to the hungry, sets the prisoners free, gives sight to the blind, lifts up those who are bowed down. God takes care of us through all the difficulties we may encounter, whatever those difficulties might be. If it's in school and we're not catching on to a subject, God's there to help us. God's there to help us and hopefully make us patient and give us open minds to be able to hear what the teacher is explaining so that we might understand. If it's at home and we don't agree with other family members about what to do or where to go or how things should be, the Lord says, I'll take care of that problem as well. Might there be patience? Might we follow the fourth commandment? Might parents also not exasperate their children? He talks of relationships, that God who watches over us takes care of everything. And you know what's special about this list? It's really special because when you look at it, the hungry, the prisoners free, sight to the blind, those who are bowed down. When John the Baptist was in prison, he sent his disciples to Jesus to ask, are you the one, or should we look for another? Personally, I don't think John was doubting. I think he was trying to teach his disciples, who maybe were confused as John was in prison and there Jesus was out on his own. And Jesus told them, you go back and tell John what you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. He was listing the very miracles that the psalmist was listing. He was listing the very miracles that the prophets were listing, that when you see these things happening, you know something special. This one is the one God had promised. This is the Messiah. This is your Savior. It was proven by the miracles Jesus did. When they always asked him for a sign, they never looked at the miracles as signs. They always looked at that, well, he's a miracle worker. No one else can do that. They should have learned. This means he is the Messiah. He is the Lord. God, the Creator, sent his one and only Son. He did that for you. Hallelujah! Because we couldn't have done it on our own. There's no way. We would be joining the rich man in torment if it was left up to us. But God didn't do that, did he? He sent his one and only Son to be the one to take away our sin, to bring us the joy. And that promise, that plan, wouldn't end because he died on a cross. No, when he rose victoriously on Easter morning, when he ascended on high, that plan was put into place because God, our Creator, the mighty God, is forever and is faithful always. What a joy there is. He closes off the psalm, the Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. He says it's your God. When we come to your, that's an important pronoun for us. It's not somebody else's God that we need to kind of think about or adopt or take in as our own. It's our God, our Lord, our Savior. When we pray in the service, our Father. That's important because he is our Father, our God, our Lord. And that makes every day what? A hallelujah day. It makes every day a day when we say, praise the Lord, because he has taken care of me. Now I know when we come to worship, we want to hear that. But when we go outside of worship, when we go to the job, when we go home, when we go to work, it's still a hallelujah day. Your team may not win, still a hallelujah day. You may not get the promotion, still a hallelujah day. You might not get the grade, it's still a hallelujah day. Things might not go right at home, it's still a hallelujah day. Your health may not be what it once was, not as because as we grow older, it never is as it was. But it might not be what we want it to be. It's still a hallelujah day. Why? Not because I'm like a scarecrow with no brain and I'm just always going to be happy. No. It's because this is the day the Lord has made. My God, your God, is watching over you. The creator of all things, the almighty God, who created this world, is sustaining this world, and he is watching over you. He sets the prisoners free, gives food to the hungry, upholds the cause of the oppressed, lifts those who are bowed down, loves the righteous, watches over the alien, sustains the fatherless and widow, frustrates the ways of the wicked. That Lord reigns forever, and he's your God. It is a hallelujah day, isn't it? And I don't have to say, well, you're not paying attention to all the facts. These are the facts. God is God and Lord over all. My dear Christian friends, it's a hallelujah day. That's the way the psalmist ended, didn't he? Praise the Lord. Those were the last words. And in Hebrew, it's hallelujah. May every day be your hallelujah day. By the grace of God. Amen. And now may the peace of God that comes to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, keep your hearts and minds in true faith till we stand with him in glory everlasting. Amen.